sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's me, Mr. FSP, back in the place that you don't want to do it for you, only because I can do these things. So true. Okay. It is February 15th, and there's a lot of stuff going on. There's UFC. There's NBA All-Star coming up. There's, Jonathan Incognito and the Miami Dolphins report just came out. I wonder what exactly is going to be the fallout from this. We're going to discuss that today. But today on the show, we've got some baseball moves. Some people are saying goodbye to Derek Jeter, you know, and stuff like that. It's quite possible that the Yankees are going to score big. We talked about this on Thursday's show with the crew, how important Derek Jeter is to the New York Yankees and this farewell tour. We'll see what happens there. Right now I'm going to bring in my co-host, JT ATM Money. He's so funny when he ain't messing with the money. But he's been gone for quite some time, so he's making his Saturday reappearance debut. You know, he won some money at FanDuel.com and took off. You know, he was like, oh, I'm out. 2 weeks, I'm taking a vacation. I can't be reached. One would say that Jerry was whipped, that Jerry allowed his significant other to control what he was doing. Same stuff he says about me. Same stuff. But he's still my man, 50 grand. What's going on, JT?
How you doing, Mr. Gardner? No, that's not the case, but I'm not going to get into it while I was gone for 2 weeks. It's just, it had nothing to do with what you were stating about FanDuel. And why are you why are you in my pocket? I mean, every show I have been on, since I've been back, you've been talking about me I wouldn't say doing real well, but doing fairly well on FanDuel.
I'm jealous.
Unfortunately.
I almost won $8 on FanDuel. I'm trying to get that $1,300 that you got.
I was trying to get... That's mere pittance. I can guarantee you. I can guarantee you, if I had known about it sooner, and if I had if I had listened to your friend Slick Rick, and got into it sooner than I did, I do believe I would have done a lot better and probably won a lot more. But it is what it is. I know about it now, and I can't wait till the start of the fantasy and NFL season in 2014.
Okay, so you don't play the basketball version.
Well, the basketball version, from what I've seen, and I could be mistaken, is a week-long thing. You set your lineup, or you put a lineup in there. I don't know if you can change it or not. But it's multi-day. It's more than one day. So you have to play for an extended period of time before you get to see whether you get paid at the end of a week. I really like the daily, I don't know if it's daily football, whatever it is, because whenever that game or a set of games is over, you get paid. And it's only, like, you know, it's football. So it's Thursday, Sunday, and maybe Monday, depending on who you put in.
Well, I play the single day ones, and they're decent. Where you can set your lineup and change them just before tip off of like your player's game or whatever. But yeah, they're few. There are a few. So, you know, don't be scared. Don't be scared.
Well,
but anyway,
you know, just like you know, because you happen to be a degenerate, a gambler.
A degenerate.
and you like to take chances. So I like to make sure my chances are more in my favor than not. I don't claim to be a basketball aficionado, but I do claim to be
whatever.
You know what I'm talking about. But I do claim to be somewhat more knowledgeable in football, especially fantasy football. So I'd rather go with a strong suit versus something that I'm just trying out to see what I can do.
I'll tell you like this, that you did very well. I'm very proud of you. I am jealous. Did Ricky ever pay you for your division win?
Excuse me?
Did you ever get your money for your divisional win in that league?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, I'm making sure.
Without a doubt. I mean,
anyway.
I didn't have any doubt. I just didn't when I questioned it. I just asked about it, and it was taken care of quickly. So it wasn't like it was done on purpose, which I didn't think it was. So it was no big deal.
Okay. Well, we know you like to
collect, right? I haven't heard from him either. I'm surprised that he hasn't kept in touch and hasn't jumped on. I mean, he huh?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying, because I haven't heard from him either. He's like,
wow, I'm surprised. See, I don't know. Sometimes he's available, he's always talking, and all of a sudden he just disappears. So it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. How's that filet mignon you eating off of that $1,300? That's all I'm saying.
Oh, you know, you are on that. Oh, man.
You know why? Because you haven't gone to, and we're sponsored by these folks, Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com, where winners win and players play, to invest any of that. I haven't seen it. And I'm always watching.
Like I said, I'd rather do something that I'm very knowledgeable about versus something I'm just trying out to take a shot.
We know you're not going to be doing anything on baseball then. We know that. So that's important to know.
My strong suit, in my opinion, is football. Plain and simple. It's football. I think I know football better than I know any other sport. So when it comes around to when that is available again, I'll be investing in ways to financially enhance myself through football.
I like the way you put that. I really like that. Anyway, ladies and gents, we spent a little bit of time just talking. But again,
that's
today
right.
We're going to talk about the findings on the Incognito Martin situation with the Miami Dolphins. Got some questions. Went in from Mark Slareth of ESPN in reference to what he thinks needs to happen in that locker room. Also, the Mets letting Marlon Byrd go. Are they happy? I know that's Jerry's real team, the Mets, so we're going to make sure we hear about that and figure out, you know, what's Jerry's thoughts on that. Also, another topic that Jerry brought up on Thursday on the cruise show was about Mr. Jeter leaving. And, you know, it's interesting. It's very interesting to see what's going on, how people look at it and feel about it. We're going to hear from Joe Girardi. You know, he didn't even know that Jeter was going to make this announcement. He wasn't told at all. So we're going to hear from him, see what he felt about it. So with that being said, let's kick this show off. And here's a topic that really doesn't keep my attention, but it's something that we got to talk about because it's happening. NBA All-Star Game. I am not at all enthused or happy with the NBA. I go to certain things or certain events that my job participates in with the basketball, NBA Basketball Association. And if you don't play the full game, it's boring. I mean, to me, honestly, if you're not hustling every player, hustling every game, it's the equivalent to some people watching baseball. Some people just can't stand watching baseball, you know, because there's no action, da da da. I like watching baseball, actually, but I'm not interested in it. So my question to you, Mr. Taylor, and those listening to us here, does anybody even care anymore about the NBA basketball All-Star game or you know, the NBA at all or slam dunk contest or anything? Or is it just all irrelevant until you get to the playoffs?
No, I think people who like the NBA and what like watch basketball, especially high-flying basketball, which is really excitement for a lot of people, tune in to watch the defenseless type of play that's on the NBA All-Star game. And they also like to watch the big-time players from each team that play and are on different stations. The ESPN pumps it up. The NBA TV pumps their games up. So depending on who's playing, and where they're playing, and who's they're playing against, quite naturally they pump up the big stars like LeBron playing Kevin Durant or LeBron playing Stephon Curry and other teams or players. So, excuse me, depending on your level of enthusiasm for basketball, that depends on who's going to be watching it and when they watch it. excuse me, I'm not normally a NBA watcher. My wife does like watching basketball. I get into basketball come playoff time. That's when I get into it because, in my opinion, that's the best play that you're going to get in basketball versus a 82-game season for every team. And there's some bad teams out there. So I'd rather watch the better teams, in quotation marks, the better teams in the playoffs versus during the regular season. And there's a lot of people like me that do that.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm bringing up the question, because I just don't like basketball right about now. I haven't in quite some time because it's – I'll give an example. I went to go see the Warriors play the 76ers, and it was a rout, really, from the first quarter. You know, the highlight of the night was watching Stephon Curry up close, you know, dribble, shoot, and hit, you know, splash, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's just because the caliber of team the Warriors are playing or just the NBA itself. But a couple of days later, they played the Heat. And it came down to a buzzer-beater shot by LeBron James. And that's cool. But it just didn't seem like the 76ers were playing hard at all until the Warriors put their third stringers in for the entire fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was kind of really, it wasn't really interesting until then. I don't know if it's just that the coach can't coach or the organization just can't draft players or what. but it's just not competitive at all. And it just makes me not want to watch. That's just me. So, again, are you going to watch the All-Star game this weekend?
No. My wife probably will, but I will not. Like I said, I'm not. I start watching basketball when the playoffs come, and I really don't watch them that much. It all depends on the matchup. If I think it's going to be a good matchup, then I watch it. Otherwise, some of these playoff games I don't even watch. Also, it depends on what teams are going against. What team will I watch it? Otherwise, I don't watch during the regular season. I may watch less than a handful of games during the regular season. And that's the truth. My wife watches a lot more than I do.
Okay. All right. Well, she rules the house. She might as well rule everything else. That's cool.
You know, why you got to go there, Victor?
Because
you don't want me to go there talking about wives and who rules what.
That's why I'm going there, because you go there with me all the time.
Oh, no, I don't go there. See, I already went there one time. I only went there one time, and I think it re-emphasized. Wait a minute. And I re-emphasized it one other time when the subject came up. Otherwise, I don't go there. I do not go there. I can't help it if your wife, because you were so whipped that you couldn't exercise your manly right to try to make some money for the household, that you were denied that. I can't help that. So it is what it is. I know if it has to do with some money, and it's the possibility of winning some money for the household, my wife will not stop me in any way at all. If I explain the situation to her, she will not stop me at all. She says, go ahead, go for it. But some situations are different. And the pants are worn different in some relationships. I understand that. So... You just have to roll with the tide and bite the bullet and watch the money go out the window to someone else when it was a possibility of them being in a reverse situation. But another man's
the trash and treasure thing.
Yeah. Another man's trash is another man's fortune. So. Hello.
Whatever.
You brought the subject up.
I know. But see, this is why I was talking about it. Because you knew that was my money to win. And because I was, on a vacation, I was forced to not be able to change anything.
Yep.
But that's okay.
Let me put it this way. I'm being honest here. Victor, I'm being very extremely honest. If I was in your position, I wouldn't be in your position, if you understand what I'm saying. For the simple fact is, I'm doing this. I understand we're on vacation, but I have a shot to win some money for us. It's not just for me. It's for us. So it's not going to be such a... like, it's going to take up my whole time. I just have to spend the time, and it, 10, 15 minutes at the most in front of a PC or whatever to set your lineup and let it roll. And you
can... Now, see, I'm going to let you get on air and talk to her like that and make it happen like that. I need an advocate.
Wait a minute. you put your pants on just like I do. You're a man just like I am. I mean, all you had to say, if you broke it down and said, look, I'm trying to win some money for the household, okay? It's not going to be like I'm looking at this and spending my time. It's 10, 15 minutes max out of a short part of the day I got to do this, and it we can reap the rewards of it if it comes through. Now, to tell you the truth, Victor, to tell you the truth, and this is the God's honest truth, if you had set your lineup, you would have beat me. I know that.
I know.
I know that, and I was very fortunate. I know that.
I know
so,
that, too.
And that cost you money. Now, I'm pretty sure if you had broke it down to your wife that this is going to cost us some money,
so, dude,
possibly.
I did. It did not work. It does not work, guy.
Wow. Wow. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, to be plain and simple, if it's going to cost you money, and it's money for us, it's not money for just you that you're going to keep for yourself. It's money for us because we're not talking about a couple hundred bucks. We're talking about several hundred dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Grand. I think it was a grand.
But
at
it
the
doesn't
time.
Matter. She
wow.
don't care. She don't listen. She don't.
Wow.
That's
crazy. 10-15 minutes max it would have taken out of your time to set your lineup to exactly. In fact, it would probably took less than that.
I know.
There's no way.
I know, bro.
Well,
anyway.
Hey.
This is gonna be
all
my
I can
last
tell conference. You is thank you.
Shut up.
And tell Azure thank you too.
Shut up.
Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back. You know what? I'm going to welcome you back this way. Since you want to go there, we're going to talk UFC right now. UFC Fight Night on Fox Sports 1. is right.
You got me.
It features a couple good fights. A couple of good fights. One of which is Charles Oliveira versus Andy Ogle. Andy Ogle competed on UFC Tough, UK edition. He's a good fighter. Very, very good fighter. Very, very good fighter. He won his fight to get in the house, and then during that fight he had an accident and he got hurt. So while he couldn't finish and he couldn't advance, but the UFC saw that he was a good fighter and they brought him on anyway. He's done well since. He's 9-3. Charles Oliveira is 16-4. Now, both these guys are pretty good for their abilities. Now, at 16-4 and one no contest, Oliveira, he wins half of his fights by submission, about 56% of his fights by submission. This is a 145-pound weight class. It's a pretty good, it should be a pretty good scrap. I mean, really. Defense is pretty good for both of them. Takedown defense, excuse me.
Are we keeping you up, man? You know, I don't know what's going on with you, Victor, because the last few times I've been on air with you, you've been yawning.
I've just been tired, guy. I've just been tired. That's all. I've just been tired. Anyway, these two guys are scrappers. They like to throw. Unfortunately for Ogle, about 44% of his wins have come by decision, so that means he's not going to take you out. He'll try, but, you know, if he can't, he'll go for the decision. Landing actually is about 50%, but the takedown defense is in Oliveira's side with 58.82%, roughly 59% of the time he stops the takedown. It's very difficult for this guy to do it. This is happening in Brazil. Excuse me. And it's a Brazilian fight. Literally, there's only been one card in Brazil where the Brazilians have not dominated. Literally. For that alone, I'm going to give it to Charles because I think this guy is he's going to try to do his best to win this match by submission in Brazil and do the thing for him. But Andy, don't sleep on him. Andy's a guy that can put you away. Given the right situation, he can put you away. And I think he'll have a shot, but I don't think he'll do it, unfortunately. Another good fight that I think is going to be a card is Nick Musso and Viscardi Andrade. Nico, is 11-2 with 1-0 decision. And he's pretty daggone hot right now as far as moving up in the ranks, whereas Andrade is 17-6. He's a veteran. He's been in the octagon for quite some time. I think he's made his UFC debut. But this kid, Nico, you know, he's kind of dynamite. This is going to be a slugfest, in my opinion. Viscardi, Andrade, his defense is great, 100%. You try to take him down, doesn't work. You try to strike with him, it doesn't work. He lands at a 67% pace at his punches and his striking. You know, that's pretty daggone good. Pretty good. Now, Nico, opposite side of that. About 26% of the time, he'll block a punch or a significant strike. That's not good. You know, he's young, he's hungry, he's looking for his opportunity. It's 170-pound weight class. He doesn't like things going to a decision, so he either is going to take you out or he's going to submit you. And because he's going for that knockout or that submission, I think he's going to open himself up to a couple of things, and I think Viscardi Andrade is going to win this match. He's a vet. But I don't know if he can finish it. I'm going to say he is. I'm just going to say he is. All right. For the main event, it's Lyoto Machida versus Gegard Masawi. Now, this, again, is a former light heavyweight or middleweight champion, light heavyweight champion, I should say, Lyoto Machida, who dropped down in the weight class to 185 so he can at least run the division. He's going to try. If he wins this match against Masawi, I think he is in line to fight for the title. Now, the Dragon, he's pretty good. He's a boring fighter. I can't stress it enough. He's a boring karate fighter, but he wins.
Aren't they all?
No, they are not all boring. But I'll say this, Masawi, or I can't get his name correct, I'm sorry, Moasasi, this guy is 34-3-2. He's been in the game for quite some time, okay? He's either going to put you to sleep or he's going to submit you, one or the other. The problem I see here is, will he be able to hit Lyoto? Lyoto is quick. Like I said, karate is his base form. And he's very quick, high energy, but he's not looking to knock you out. He's not looking to submit you. If he knocks you out, it's rare. Half of his wins have come by decision. The thing about it is here, I think he's going to need an opportunity for a submission or a knockout because this guy is going to come straight at him and he's going to come full bore. I'm not too thrilled about the fight. I'm not too thrilled about the card. But I will say this. It's a very good matchup. Two different styles. If Masawi can turn it into a fight, then Machida might be in trouble because he does have a glass jaw, but I don't think he's going to be that stupid to let Gegard get him into a slugfest. So with that being said, I'm going to pick Lyoto to win this and get his title shot. That's all I got. UFC, I'm not going to go over the entire card. Just picked a couple of fights that I thought would be interesting that I
Thank
thought
you.
Would, you know what, whatever. I just thought it'd be cool to talk about them real quick. But now we can move on to something that I know Jerry knows little about. But it's his team. So we're going to discuss it. Talking baseball right now, ladies and gentlemen. Pitchers and catchers report, I think, this week or next week, one or the other.
This week.
And you said this week?
Mm-hmm.
And even though I'm talking about a player that isn't a dominant guy, he was important to the Mets. He was important to the Mets. Let's hear about releasing Marlon Byrd from the Mets.
After we lost Marlon Byrd, and certainly the job Marlon did last year, you know, was we didn't know what we were going to get, and we got an outstanding performance, and we knew we had to go get similar kind of players, and Sandy's done that, certainly with the addition of Chris Young, and then certainly the big signing of Curtis Granderson has helped us. I think that you're talking about two middle-of-the-lineup kind of guys that, you know, we can now put in the middle there with David.
So, do you think it was worth letting this guy go, Jerry? These are your Mets. You know, you get Curtis Granderson, who has a high strikeout ratio, but he has power, and he can play defense. Okay, you just quickly say yes.
No, I'm just saying he doesn't. I'm agreeing with you saying yes. He's a high strikeout, and he has some power. Yes, that's what I'm agreeing with. I'm not saying I'm agreeing with the signing of him. I'm just agreeing to what the point you were making about Curtis Granderson.
Okay. So you put Granderson in there. You put him in there with David Wright, you know, and the other signing that your Mets made. Do you think it's worth it, losing Marlon Byrd?
Well, Marlon Byrd, 36 years old, has been on several teams, Phillies, the Rangers, the Cubs, and also with the Mets. So it's not like he's an all-star, and it's a surprise move letting him go. Am I disappointed that they didn't keep him? Yes, I am disappointed they didn't keep him because I think he could have been a valuable piece. He's an older player. He's been around, and he was effective in what he was doing. I've been going back and forth with this because I'm not a really big Curtis Granderson fan because one of the key things that I don't like about players is that they strike out too much. One player strike out too much. And Curtis Granderson has had a high strikeout ratio for years. And if they're counting on his power, just think about this, Met fans, if whoever's listening. Just go back and thought that the guy from, I think he came, excuse me, came from Boston and came to the Mets by the name of Jason Bay. And he thought because he was coming there and he had such power when he was with Boston, he comes to the Mets and he is hot garbage. Now, I'm not saying Curtis Granderson is going to be hot garbage, but they moved the fences in for a reason for David Wright, because it was more of a pitcher-friendly park, meaning Citi Field, than a hitter's-friendly park. I don't know if it's going to benefit Curtis Granderson or not. He's going to the National League versus the American League, and usually guys have a transition period, some better than others. Like I said, I don't like a guy that historically has a high strikeout ratio to bats. I don't like that. And unfortunately, Curtis Granderson is that person.
I look at it this way, because I agree with you 100% on that, coming from AL to NL.
Mm-hmm.
Batters, anyway, it's a big, big difference. I try to stay away from these guys, especially when we do fantasy baseball. Because the adjustment period, spring training isn't enough for you to, you know, get a good feel on, you know, a batter leaving one side to go to the next. For me, it just isn't. Because you don't see these regular pitchers all the time, and then they get time to study you, and see what pitches work against you and for you. And it's a different thing. And he already had a high strikeout ratio. I think the Mets are trying to make moves because they know that the window of opportunity in the AL East is very, 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 very slim. The Nationals are coming up. They're getting better. You've got the Marlins, who were at the bottom of the division for quite so long, I mean, for a long time. They may surpass the Mets this year, possibly. Then you got the Braves. You know, the Braves are still consistent. And the Phillies, you know, the Phillies aren't that bad, but they aren't that good. So, you know, it's a lot to think about.
They picked up your boy. You know that, don't you?
Who picked up my boy?
The Phillies picked up your boy. You know that, don't you?
My boy is who? Who are you talking about?
You're one of your favorite pitchers that you like. A.J. Burnett went to the Phillies.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping he would go to the Orioles. However, it's a good thing because A.J. Burnett does not pitch well in the AL. He just doesn't. So I'm glad he's staying in the NL. And he's going to a staff that's pretty daggone good in Philly. Now, where he fits in that rotation, I don't know. But it's pretty good. But anyway,
Can you go ahead and draft him? Go right ahead.
Did I say I was going to draft him? No.
You have a man crush on AJ Burnett, so draft.
Okay.
If he's there, you will draft him. And have fun drafting.
Why do you always trade me for him then?
Excuse me?
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute. When I got AJ Burnett, whenever I had him on my line, what team was he on?
Pittsburgh. It don't matter.
Better lineup than Philly. Been a better lineup for like the last few years than Philly. And that does matter.
Whenever I have him, you always want to trade for him. That's all I know.
For the simple reason, he's a good pitcher on a good team with a good hitters. Not like – I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole this year. Would not touch him with a 10-foot pole. Not with that Phillies lineup. Ain't happening. Not to me.
Okay. I got you. I mean, I feel you. We'll see. You know, draft's coming up 27 days or 28 days from the draft.
Since you were talking about baseball, okay, I know you sent me the league safe, but
yes.
I have an issue. This is the issue I have. Presently, a little less than a month to go, we only have 6 teams in that league.
Correct.
Six.
Correct.
Six.
Yeah.
It's not even worth it if you can't at least get 10.
I'm working. Can you help me out here? Ladies and gentlemen, listen to Fantasy Sports and Politics, Saturday edition. I'm always recruiting. I'm always looking for someone to come in and play fantasy baseball with me and JT. We have some people returning. I know some people like to wait to the last minute to come, but if you're willing to step in there and draft by position, not just stats, but by position, I'm willing to take you. It's a $50 entry fee. $50, that's all it takes.
Oh, you dropped it down. I thought it was more last year.
It was, but I made it 50.
Okay.
Only because a lot of people, you know, one, they're tight on money, and two, there aren't that many that follow fantasy baseball, play fantasy baseball. A lot of people I've talked to said if I move it to ESPN, they'll do it. But I'm not a big ESPN guy. So I'm contemplating.
Well, let me ask you this, Victor. Are you going to stick to your guns and have 6 teams and not be able to draft a decent league? or
oh, no. We're gonna have at least 10 to 12. We're gonna have 10 to 12. So
that's what you say. We have 6 now. I don't see 4 anywhere. At least 4 more.
I listen. You work, I work, it'll happen. But if it's only me working, it's still gonna happen because I'm that damn good. But if you could help instead of complaining, put mom in. That way she'll compete against you and she'll help you.
Let me tell you something. The people I deal with or are into fantasy are not into fantasy baseball at all.
I know.
So I'm telling you right now, there's no way I can get anybody into fantasy baseball because they're solely into fantasy football. That's the only thing, only fantasy they play with. They play fantasy football.
Well, it doesn't
fantasy baseball. I get a cock to one side of their head and a funny look at them. Like what? Like, come on, man.
Just tell them you won, and then they say, "Oh, it's easy pickings," and really, it's not, as you found out last year. But we'll work on it. We're working, bro. We gotta keep fighting a good fight. But even once we fill it, everybody has to pay. It's not just, you know, get 10 people in. Then you gotta get 10 people to pay.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. You got less than 30 days, less than a month,
and
you have six people in the league, so you don't have the league filled yet, and then you got to get those six, including 4 more at least, to pay by the 15th of March. I don't know about that. Good luck,
ladies and gentlemen. I'm put it out there. I'm gonna put it out there. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are interested in joining a fantasy baseball league that is very, very competitive, especially when we have some of our regular folks in there talking trash, making trades, and you got to know your position, and you got to know stats because it's stat-driven.
Don't come punkish, because I'm going to punk you out.
Yeah, that will happen. On the air. In the draft room, on the message board. But if you want to join in, very easy. Send me an email. I'll put it out there. Jerry, what's your email?
You can put my email out. I don't care. You can put my email
out
there. My email address. If you want to join this Yahoo Fantasy Baseball League, get in touch with me, and I will forward your email to Victor, who is the commissioner. My email address is J with a J, not J the name, but J the letter. Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R. That's one word, J Taylor, 342 at Comcast.net. That's J Taylor, J as in the letter J, not the word, name J, Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R. 342 at Comcast.net. Tell me that you want to join the league. And even if you like, give me some type of background if you know anything about fantasy baseball. Now, I'm telling you now, people, in the draft, just like Victor says, and during the year, there's a lot of smack talk, especially from moi. I talk a lot of smack.
Especially from me.
I talk a lot of smack. And I have a tendency to get under people's skin. So if you got to have a strong constitution and be able to talk smack back and react to come, because I won it, and I'm pretty competitive in this league, and so are the rest of the members. So if you know fantasy baseball and you want to be in a competitive league, and it's the minimal price, $50. Come on. Get into the league, have some fun, and maybe you'd be fortunate enough to win the league. And again, I'll give you my email address, J as in the letter J, not the name J, Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, one word, 342 at Comcast.net.
That's right. And you can also go to Twitter, tweet me, Fan Sports and Pod. That's FanSportsAndPol. Fan Sports and Pod. Tweet me. Let me know you want to get in. I'll get you in there. Not a problem. $50. That's all it takes. $50. And you can lose, just as Jerry will and everybody else. But anyway, speaking of losing, not losers, but losing a player, Derek Jeter is leaving the New York Yankees, and his manager, Judge Ruddy, says he didn't know anything about it, but it's going to be tough replacing Derek Jeter.
This is a guy that's going to be hard to replace, you know, in your clubhouse and on your club. But it's the nature of the business where people age and they move on and they go and do different things in their life. And in our life, it's a little bit quicker than some of, you know, the other working people of this world.
So he's saying it's hard to replace him. They went out in free agency, the Yankees did, and tried to get some good young talent. But the key thing that he said to me was that the clubhouse, replacing him in the clubhouse.
You can't replace
is
that.
Gonna be tough. Exactly. And that's my point, that who's the new leader of the Yankees? Robinson Cano is gone. You know, Jeter's going to be leader. So who's left to be the leader of the Yankees?
That's a question. It's a good question because you have to find out come next year. Right now, quite naturally, he's the captain. He's been the captain for quite a while. And who knows who's going to be the captain after he leaves, if they, in fact, do have a captain. You know, before he became the captain, I don't know. I don't know the time frame of how long they didn't have a captain until Jeter took it. But because of the dynamics of the locker room once he leaves there, who's going to be the captain? Texera or whoever. I mean, you know, it may be something that just sits out there and not be a captain, and the leader of the locker room may be Girardi, not one of the players, because of the fact is there's really no established hierarchy other than Jeter, because Bernie's not there, Andy's not there, and maybe Andy Pettit is still there. I think he's still there. Mariano
Pettit,
is gone.
Pettit retired.
Yeah, okay. Retired. So I'm saying Pettit, Mariano, Jorge, Bernie, and now the last of them is Derek. All right? The core, depending on what core four you're talking about, core four or five, they're gone after Derek leaves this year. So it's going to be a whole new era of Yankees, depending on what happens. Are they going to excel? Or are they going to drop back down to what they were before the core four got introduced to the Yankees and all the excellence and the world championships that they accumulated? Now, when Derek leaves, it's going to be a sad day. In Yankees, in the upper office, in the front office, and on the in the dugout, in the clubhouse, and on the field.
Well, here's a question, Jerry. Can a former Red Sox and Jacoby Ellsbury be the new face of the New York Yankees?
Ooh, that's no. New.
Okay, why? Why do you say that?
Well, you just said it. It's a former Red Sox player.
I know. It don't matter.
It's a former Red Sox player. So you think just because it'll be his second season, the first season without Derek, which would be 2015.
Correct.
That he's going to be the new face of the Yankees? I don't think so. And the Yankee fans, in my opinion, won't accept a former Red Sox with no really established tenure except for maybe a second season with the Yankees. It's going to be the face of the Yankees. I highly doubt it. Highly doubt it.
Well, okay. Okay. I understand why you doubt it. But with no established leader, you got Tetsuria, who stays injured. You got Ellsbury, who's consistent. I think they got a couple of young cats. I think they got Sanchez from Pittsburgh. No, they didn't. They got somebody to play second. I can't remember who it is. But they got him cheaply. And these guys are productive. I mean, you got to think about it. Johnny Damon came in from the Red Sox and became a Yankee favorite. Maybe not the leader, but a favorite. So it's not impossible. Improbable, maybe, but not impossible. I mean, okay. Let me put it this way. Who then on that pitching staff, if you don't think there's going to be anybody on the, around the diamond, who on that pitching staff can then become the new face of the Yankees? Is it the import, the Chinese import? I don't remember his name, but who can do it?
Oof. Good question. Don't know. That Tanaka is an unknown.
Exactly,
he will
be after this year. He'll be known.
Well, I understand that, but he doesn't speak a lick of English, and I hate to hold that against him, but I'm going to hold it against him. He doesn't speak a lick of English. I mean, I wouldn't say he'd be the face of the Yankees, but depending on how he does, he'll be someone that the Yankees look to help him move forward and to compete, not to be the face of the Yankees. And a pitcher? I don't think so. Especially a pitcher that he needs to establish himself, not just from one season. And I'm just assuming that he's going to do well this season. He's a Japanese pitcher, okay, that's pitched a lot of innings in Japan. So
a lot of innings.
Yes. So I have my reservations and I have my doubts about him being a dominant. I know he was 25-0 or whatever he was, but he pitched a lot of innings in Japan. In Japan. Now I know in Japan they have some major league former major league or on the edge major league type of players that are playing in Japan, but he's going to be seeing major league players every game that he pitches. That's different. That's a whole lot different than pitching in Japan and the competition in Japan. And I'm not downplaying Japan's competition, but I'm being realistic. It's not the same as pitching in the major leagues. Him being the face of the franchise? No, not a pitcher, no. I mean, depending on how he pitched, he'll either be appreciated or he'll be blasted, depending on how he does. It's going to be tough. I don't think they're going to have a captain next year. I really don't. I think that they won't have a captain excuse me, for a few years, because the fact is they don't have – their farm system sucks. Their farm system is absolutely horrible. That's one of the reasons why They deal with a lot of free agents and players from other.
They traded them all away.
Yeah.
They traded them all away.
And the moves they've made in the farm system haven't panned out. So the only way that they're able to stay viable and in competition in the AL East and in the AL altogether is to buy talent. And pay Peter to and sooner or later Paul's going to be asking for his money, but you're playing Peter. So after a while that check's got to get cashed somewhere, because you just keep on paying Peter, and you get Paul's going to want to cash that check and want to get paid, and the money won't be there. So sooner or later, what I'm saying is sooner or later that catches up to you when you start year in, year out, paying for your talent coming from other teams. It catches up with you.
I agree, and I'm glad you transitioned back, because I'm talking about the last baseball topic before we get to football. Your boy, Mike Trout, his agent says he wants a 12-year deal worth over $400 million.
Wow.
And he's 22 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Finished second again in the MVP balloting. You're talking about teams, Robin, Peter, Faye, Paul. They got Albert Pujols. They got Hamilton. They've got pitching. Talking about the Angels now. One suggestion, and I think it was from Mike Wilbon, or pardon the interruption, was to give him a 5-year, $150 million deal. Because he'll be 27, and he'll be getting in his prime, and then he'll probably deserve 12 years, $400 million. And one point that people made, or he made, was that the only person that ever lived up to that type of money was A-Rod. So that was before we knew about his usage.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the question is, what value do you put on Mike Trout? And what type of contract would you put on Mike Trout?
12 years.
20 years old.
He's 20 years old, you said, right?
22?
He's 22 years old, and he wants a 12-year contract worth $400 million.
It's his manager. Says
okay. So that's over $33 million. That's like $33.33333 million dollars a year.
Correct.
For 12 years. That's crazy. And what you just talked about was a 5-year deal worth $150 million, which is $30 million a year. That, in my opinion, is absolutely crazy. $30 million to pay a player, I should say. That's crazy. I can't fathom that much money.
Robinson Cano is getting about that from Seattle.
Well, I understand that, and I'm not justifying that either. I'm thinking a 7-year for Mike Trout, and he's 20 years old. I can't give him a 10-year. I give him a 7-year, $25 million. So what is that? 7 times 25. What is that?
7 times 25?
175 million.
Yeah.
For 7 years. That's $25 million a year. And the way he plays, we'll have to wait. I wouldn't say wait and see, but he's had 2 good years, and I was mistaken when I thought he'd regress this past year.
Of course you would.
Yeah, that's okay. That's all right. No one hits a home run every time they come to bat. So, I struck out on that one. I'd pay him seven years, $25 million. 12 years.
Now, my question mm-hmm. becomes: if that's what you're going to pay him, why a 7-year contract, and why just $25 million as opposed to the 30?
Because I don't think he's 30. Well, I can't say that.
I mean,
I'm trying to get him as cheap as possible, and I'm not paying. I don't believe in double digit contracts, meaning double digit year contracts. So I'm not going to give you 10 years. You're not getting 10 years. Plain and simple. 10 years, 12 years, 11 years, you're not getting it. I understand you're 20 years old. You'll be 30 at the time. But for the amount of time that you're in the league doesn't guarantee that you're going to be as effective, okay? You may have gotten to the league earlier. That means your lifespan as a a consistent player, it's just going to be it's going to be cut short at a younger age. There's no way that he's going to be able to sustain the level that he's at right now come when he's 29, 30 years old. It's not happening. It's not going to happen. So you're getting that $25 million now, because I'm figuring you're going to give me five good serious years that you'll be able to play. The other two is thank you for those 5 years and the 2 years prior to that. You follow me? The last 2 years of that contract is a thank you, because there's no way I'm paying you ten or more years for the amount of money you're looking for. Now, And I'm pretty sure that a lot of teams have learned from that. Even though Robinson Cano got close to that, he didn't get a 10-year contract, if I'm not mistaken, did he?
Robinson Cano got, I believe it was a 10-year contract, 300 and something mil, because he got $1 million more than A-Rod got when he went to the Yankees. Yankees, I'm sorry, to the Rangers.
Okay, let me see. I'm looking up his contract now and see what he got. Robinson Cano got
Well, regardless of I'll let you look it up. But I think it's really important to see that, you know, it's crazy that this young talent is on a team that has oodles of talent, and the Angels are still able to pay them. That's the crazy part that I.
Yep, he got a 10-year contract for $240 million, and I think. And give me this. And I may have to retract what I said. Give me this. Robinson Cano, who would you rather have, Robinson Cano or Mike Trout? This may sound like a stupid question, but I'm going to ask
right
it anyway.
Now?
Yeah.
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
Trout.
Okay.
Trout, he's younger. He's getting better. He's been MVP talked about, and he's been second in MVP bout in his 2 years in the big leagues. The main thing is he's on the incline, whereas Cano is on the decline. He's like 33, 34, something like that.
Yeah.
And so he'll be 44 if he lives out that entire contract, which I don't think he will. So, you know, I think Trout.
Okay, let me see what Mike Trout's contract is right now. Mike Trout, you're right. They're talking about he's a 22-year-old. He's 22.
Correct.
Not 20. He's 22.
Right. Yeah, I said 22.
And they're looking at a 10-year contract would make him 32 at $400 million. I mean, 12-year for $400
million. Yep.
Well.
And I'll make him 34 with some years left, with some years left to play.
Yeah, but see, the thing about it is this. You have to take into consideration what I'm saying. He's 22 years old, okay? That means he's into the league earlier than a lot of other players that come into the league. So,
okay.
You understand what I'm saying here? So say the average guy comes in, and I don't know this for a fact, but say the average guy comes into the league, he's 24, 25 years old, somewhere around there. Maybe not 25, maybe 24 years old. 23, 24 years old, okay? Mike Trout came to the league when he was 20, okay? Which is a rarity. You follow what I'm saying? So
correct.
The 22, 24-year-old comes into the league.
Not as good as he is at 20.
Excuse me?
And still not as good as Trout is at 20.
What? But no, I understand what you're saying. But this is what I'm trying to get to. That 24, 22-year-old, he may have a lifespan of, in the league, of, I'll give him to maybe 8 years. I'll say 8 years, okay? It's probably less, but I'll say 8 years. So he's 23, 24. So I'll give him a lifespan of 32, 31 years old. That his time in the major leagues where he's a really productive player is gone. All right? Mike Trout started at 20. So that means in that 8 years, he's going to be 37, 38, maybe 39. You follow what I'm saying? Even though he started at 20 years old, doesn't mean he's going to have a longer span. His reign of terror, so to speak, is going to end at a younger age versus a guy who's older, two or three years older, and his reign of terror is going to end just early 30s, late 30s, or Mike Trout ends at the early 30s. You follow what I'm saying?
I follow what you're saying, but I got to disagree. I got to disagree. The reason why I disagree is because the guy that's coming out of the minors, going through the majors at 24, is taking a lot more risk in the minors trying to prove that he belongs in the majors. So he's either, you know, shooting up, he's going through fences, he's, you know, putting his body at more harm's way than Trout is. Now, Trout, because of...
What makes you say that?
Trout, the value of him to the team right now, you know, he'll get a few days off, whereas in the minors, if you take that one day off, you never know what scout's looking at you. You know, he has the funds already to start the real rehabilitation process of his body. So he can get that hyperbaric chamber. He can do all this other stuff that's new fancy band stuff because he can afford it. Do I think that he's going to be difficult keep him in the big leagues at the age of 30, maybe 32, 33, as opposed to someone that's coming up 24 and, you know, hitting their stride? You know, I really don't, because by that time, you know, you would have had a full body of work of Mike Trout to see, okay, you know what? I don't need to work on but so much, but when I do work on it, I'm going to focus in on, you know, my bat swing. I'm going to focus in on my defense. I'm going to focus in on whatever it is I need to focus in on, mainly my health. I think the younger guy has more chance of having a longer stance in the big leagues. Now, a person like Roger Clemens came out of college, right? He was in the bigs for what? 15, 20 years, something like that? Found out.
Okay.
Allegedly.
Okay.
Roger was using roids or whatever. But he was known as one of the best pitchers in, you know, in college and coming out to the pros. Mike Trout just skipped college. That's the only difference. And he was able to dominate his first year, maintain his second year. Is he worth $400 million? If I have the money and I can build around him, yes. Why? Because he'll restructure that $400 million contract so that I can get players so he can win. And if he doesn't, it's not all guaranteed. I can trade him. And somebody will pick up the money just like they did with A-Rod. You know, they picked up, the Yankees picked up A-Rod and paid up a lot of the money that the Rangers were going to pay. So it's an investment that I think is worth taking.
And money is guaranteed. That money is guaranteed. Baseball players' contracts are guaranteed money. Basketball players' contracts, guaranteed money. Guaranteed.
Okay, well, like I said, there's always somebody out there willing to take the contract. Somebody, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Rangers. Somebody's going to take it if the Angels aren't willing to pay him out the full amount. But
so you're saying that he should get the $400 million for 12 years. Is that what you're telling me?
If the Angels feel he deserves it, yes. I think so.
Wow. I'm very surprised, Victor, because usually you're talking – you are basically a frugal person about paying players, and I'm surprised that you would actually open your pocketbook or open your pockets, your wallet, to give 12 years, $400 million to a baseball player when history dictates that when you give a player a double-digit contract, it doesn't pan out.
He's not your average player, and I think he's
that's what they all say about those. That's what they all say about the players that they give these contracts to. He's not your average player.
Mike Trout is better than those that are above average.
Better than A-Rod. Better than A-Rod?
Yes.
Better than A-Rod?
Yes.
Okay, we'll see what kind of stats he puts up compared to what type of stats A-Rod had put up. And the level of play A-Rod's played at.
You also got to remember, okay, we're going to compare. If you're going to do this, let's compare it correctly. A-Rod had Griffey. He had, I think he had Alomar at the time. I know it was like two other big bats in his life. And so does Trout. A-Rod also had Randy Johnson and maybe one or two other pitchers. The Angels have who's their guy? Oh, I see his face. Can't remember his name. I thought it began with an L, but I might be mistaken. But anyway, very comparable. They both play out of the AL West. So, at the time, A-Rod played out of the AL West. Different eras, because A-Rod played in the live ball era, known as the juice era. So we'll see what happens with Trout. I think that he's very consistent. I think he's worth the money. Hamilton and Pujols, they need to get it together even though they're on the decline. They can back him up a little bit. I really think so. That's just my thought. Now let's move on. We got about, 15 minutes left to talk about. We got a call. I think this caller is Rez. And you know what? We can talk about Incognito in a little bit. Let me get Rez's thoughts on paying Mike Trout 12 years, $400 million. That's what the talk is. Let's see what the Rez thinks. Rez Fantasy. you're calling in.
What's going on, guys?
You're calling in on the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino Hotline, where winners win and players play. So go there today and place your wages to get paid. So what are your thoughts on this Mike Trout, not situation, but debate? Is he worth 12 years, $400 million? Yes or no? And why?
No. And the reason why is, don't get me wrong, the guy's the best talent, I think, in the game. But you're talking about $400 million.
Mm-hmm.
If you miss, swing and miss on that, there ain't no coming back from that. So, and then whenever you do pay this guy this amount of money, I'm not even sure if the Angels would be a team that would be able to put their numbers that they have on their team while they're paying Josh Hamilton, they're paying Albert Pujols. There's no way they can even afford that they go there with him on that contract. And if they did, they would never be able to add another piece for the next 12 years while he was there. Now, any other team out there that could afford that, they still would be making a mistake just because, like I said, you swing and miss on that, they're not be able to you're not going to be able to bounce back from that. And you already know in professional baseball, once you sign on the dotted line, it's guaranteed go. So we're not talking about the NFL or the NBA where you can amnesty somebody or cut them. But once it's signed, it's a guaranteed contract. So there's no way I wouldn't pay nobody that amount of money. And that's no disrespect to Mike Trout. He's a hell of a player. But that's a little far. That's a little too much for me.
Okay. Well, here's the deal. Before I jump on that, Jerry, you asked me about why we only have six players in the league. Well,
yeah.
The good Reverend was sent an invite, and he has not joined yet. I don't know where his $50 is.
I don't know. I haven't seen that invite come across my desk yet.
Well, you need to check your spam or something. I'll resend it. But
please resend because I would like to take everybody's money and put it in my offer pick.
The church. The doors of the church.
Actually, FSP, you know how I like to take your money, so.
Oh,
it definitely
really,
would make
really?
Me feel a lot better, and I would be rejoicing. Yeah. Man, I might even catch the Holy Ghost taking your money.
Well, that's because you've never done it. That's the whole deal. My tithing has not been good at your church. You know, it's always me taking from the church. But anyway, to get back on topic, I think Mike Trout is the player or the type of player that can and should be given that contract. As far as putting pieces around him, I think you still can because you still have a Pujols contract to get rid of and Hamilton contract to get rid of. I'm pretty sure they're not going to be around that 12 years. They might not be around for the next 2 or 3 years. So you'll have the money. Weaver is the pitcher I was talking about.
Jared Weaver, okay.
Yeah, Jared Weaver and a few other pitchers on that staff. So you can find some talent there. And the Angels have a decent farm system. It's decent. So it's not like they have to, you know, break the bank in free agency to get somebody. So I just think it's fair, and he deserves it.
All I have to say is, and I said it again, name me one double-digit contract that's panned out. What you said, because
you.
Wait a minute. Now, listen, I've listened to you. Just listen. You said that Mike Trout is worth it. Well, every player that's gotten a double-digit contract, the person who gave him that contract has said he's worth it, and it hasn't panned out. It has not panned out for some reason, one reason or another. You give a player a double-digit contract with X amount of dollars, especially you're talking about $400 million for 12 years. That's ridiculous. Which is $33.333333 million a year. You may get half of those years that's worth that $400 million for 12 years, but you're not going to get all 12 years worth of what you paid in. You're not. It's not happening.
Hey, Jerry.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. Would you be willing to go in half that amount of years at six and maybe $200 million?
This is what I proposed to Vic. Now, I may have been lowballing a little bit, but I proposed 7 years at $175 million.
Mm. I think Mike Trout's getting robbed if he signs that contract.
Yeah, well, that's what I said, it's lowball.
It's fair. It's very fair. Hell yeah, we're talking about $175 million. But I'm saying I would probably give him something around the Canoe. Canoe got what? 240
million for 10 years.
See, I would go. I'd be willing to maybe do that contract with it with Trout. But the thing, like you said, for every person who signs a big contract like that, Jared, you're dead on, man. 9 out of 10 of them have crapped out, dude. I mean, I can name them, dude. Carl Crawford, all the way back to Vernon Wells. You know, when he signed that huge contract, Sean Green. You talk about guys, you know, A-Rod, look what the Yankees are faced with, you know. And it's ridiculous, man, the amount of money that gets tossed around to these guys. And then once they – and maybe it's no fault of their own, but Father Time is eventually going to catch up with this guy. And he's going to go from a five-star player to a – you know, he's not going to be able to steal a base, and then he's going to be relying on just hitting home runs. But he's not really a home run hitter, you know what I mean? So I think you're spot on, brother. You got to really think hard, man, before you give somebody that much money. And you got to think about it.
Well, again, fellas, I agree with you guys. I really do. However, I think that that Trout is worth the bill. So let's move on. We got about 8 minutes left alive there. We're probably going to go to overtime with this conversation because we got the Reverend in the house, and I know how he loves to preach about his friend, his close personal friend, Richie Incognito. And we've got...
I love a good dirt bag.
So what we're gonna
That's
do
why we love you, Vic.
Oh, really? Through both of you. But right now... We're going to hear about Mark Schlereth, from Mark Schlereth. Mark is on NFL Live talking about how the locker rooms, or at least how the Miami Dolphins locker room needs to be overhauled. Something needs to be done. Here's Mark Schlereth on the Incognito situation.
The guy's got a big nose. You know you're going to talk about his big nose. I mean, those are the things that go on, and it's part of the grief that slips back and forth between guys all the time. But when you start talking about guys' sisters and the guys' mothers, and you start going racial slurs, and you start questioning a guy from that standpoint, those are things that are lines that just aren't crossing in the locker room.
So, again, we do it all day, every day with our friends. The findings of this investigation says that Martin went along to get along, he wasn't the only one that was pushed down this path. He's the only one that walked away from the team and caused an issue to pop up. There's a trainer, an Asian trainer, that was also a victim of the harassment. Says that Marquise Pouncey and another offensive lineman were a part of the bullying, hazing, whatever you want to call it. It's come up where the conversation has turned to where there'd be workplace standards placed in the NFL, in the locker room. Now, everywhere you work, where any normal person works, and we know that the NFL and professional sports, nothing's normal about it. But there are workplace standards, whereas you're not allowed to, you know, harass. You're not allowed to intimidate. You're not allowed to do any of these types of things that go on in sports locker rooms on an everyday basis. So the question is, can the NFL, you know, legislate behavior in the locker room? because it's difficult to do to begin with, especially when you have men and women that are professional sports that aren't very mature. My suggestion is this. Stop drafting these immature players, and maybe you'll have some more mature atmospheres. And I point to the San Antonio Spurs as being the quintessential locker room of a pro organization. I really think they, whatever Popovich is doing, it works. Because there's no disorder in that locker room. There's no bad things going on. And whatever San Antonio does, it needs to be duplicated. That's just my opinion. I'm not saying be David Stern and tell these guys you're going to wear a shirt and ties and slack on the bench or whatever. But some decorum needs to be established. And I get it. Yes, I get it. You need somewhere to cut loose and relax and be yourself and talk about things that you want to talk about and do things you want to do. And that's the locker room. But in the interest of not being too sensitive, I think having more mature adults playing will be the answer. Let me get your thoughts on this, Rev, and then we'll go to Jared.
Well, I'm going to first kind of to answer your question. Yeah, I think this is definitely going to force the NFL is either going to, one, establish a policy for locker room behavior, or two, it's going to mandate that teams by a certain deadline have some kind of locker room standard operating procedure for how they conduct themselves. And I think that's the right way. I mean, the professional athletes we're talking about, in our profession, they're a bit, we like to jab at each other, and you got to have thick skin, and there's always going to be that. But I think it's good that even in our profession, we do have SOP, standard operating procedures, on how our on-work behavior is supposed to be conducted. Now, do we abide by that? Probably not, all the time. But it's in place. Now it's. I think what it's going to come down to is how the organizations or leaders on those teams enforce those standards. And I think you've heard veterans come out and talk about how you stepped over the line with certain things that were said. So, yeah, to answer your question, I think it's going to force teams to have those procedures in place, and I think it's a good thing. And then secondly, I think the guy who wins the most out of this whole thing is Michael Sam, because he's going to step into a situation now where, we talked about it on Wednesday, where he's going to be in a win-win situation, because it's going to force NFL teams to have these policies in place, and it's going to only benefit him and protect him from ridicule and repercussions of coming out and saying that he was a homosexual. And with that, I'll pass off to JT.
Hi.
Well, hold on. Before you do that, Jerry, you made some good points, Rev, and I want to talk about those too. But right now, I want to let you, thank you for listening to Fantasy Sports and Politics Saturday Edition, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Saturday, where we do what we do all the time. Next week, I'll be up in Seattle, Washington. I'll be at the Reverend's Church. The Reverend's Church. So, JKT Money is probably going to run the board, and I'll be hosting, and the Rev will be on there with me as well. I hope, if not, he'll sit in for me, because I don't know what my schedule is going to be like. But every Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Then on Sunday, 10 a.m. Standard Time, you got the Rev and you got the Master with the Master Plan. Doing what they do, because they do it for you. They'll probably talk a little bit about this situation going on with Incognito and Martin, and some basketball, some baseball, God knows what else. But that's happening Sunday, 10 a.m. Standard Time. Then on Thursdays, well, you know what? Maybe on Wednesday, the doors of the church might be open. The doors of the church might be open this Wednesday. We'll see what happens with the Rev Show. Well, we'll talk about it. We'll see. But then on Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time,
FSC Crew Show, JT ATM Money, Jeff the Joker, and Black the Bookie. Then on Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you've got No Chance with Matt Williams and Jerry Taylor. Stick around for those. You'll enjoy them. Now, we're about to go into overtime, and I'll let JT ATM Money handle his business.
All right. You put the analogy out there of the Spurs locker room. And I think, in my opinion, that was a poor comparison, for the simple fact is the Spurs, with a strong head coach, a veteran head coach, along with a strong veteran leadership headed by Tim Duncan, who is, and I said this before, as long as you have the superstar back in the head coach, everybody else falls in line. You didn't have that in Miami. You had, even from the general manager, meaning Jeff Ireland, who's no longer there, you've had a second-year coach in Joe Philbin, who, in my opinion, is not a strong coach, and I'm surprised he still has the job after this. Plus, you had what they so-called leadership council that were the ringleaders of this harassment and things going on in the locker room. So you had a total breakdown from the front office, from the head coach, and from the so-called leadership in the locker room to have this fester and come to light in the Miami Dolphins. Joe Philbin shouldn't have a job, in my opinion. He should be gone. Just like Jeff Ireland, he should be gone, for the simple fact is he's supposed to know the pulse of his locker room. He's supposed to know what's going on. And for the simple reason, he has coaches, including one of the coaches or assistant coaches that was part of the harassment of Jonathan Martin. But there's other coaches that players talk to and see things that are happening to other players. Should have gone back to Philbin and should have filtered back to the general manager, and they should have taken care of it. All this stuff should have stayed in-house, didn't stay in-house. Like I said, it festered until it came out to light, and that's the problem. That's the problem with the leadership in the locker room, the coaching staff, and in the front office. So it's nothing compared to what it's like in a strong locker room, like the comparison you had with the San Antonio Spurs. This should have been a whole new coaching staff coming into Miami this year. For the simple fact is, a lot of the coaching staff, majority of coaching staff that was there, is still there, including the head coach. And I can almost guarantee if it doesn't happen during the year, it's going to happen at the end of the year, that this coach is not going to be the coach of the Miami Dolphins. Because of the fact he's not a strong coach, for one, and this thing should have been handled and taken care of before it came out to light, and it wasn't. And that's a reflection on the coaching staff and the front office.
Okay. Well, with that being said, you know, how do we then discuss the changes? I mean, you don't like my analogy, but that's okay. We don't like you anyway.
Well, you ain't got to take it personal, but it was, in my opinion, it was on the opposite sides of the spectrum.
I got you.
I definitely think Jerry's perspective was definitely spot on from my point.
Well, I mean, I think that when you have an organization that is the way that the Dolphins are, they're dysfunctional, and that was said or shown. Now, I get it, Chad Johnson wasn't, you know, lighting it up in preseason, but it was shown when the players, the leaders of that council back then, went to the head coach and said, you know, maybe you can put together something so this doesn't happen, da 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 da. He didn't really care. He showed no type of connection to the players so that, you know, they could have a stake in it. The biggest thing you can do as a leader is give the followers or the subordinates a stake in whatever happens. Why? Because once you do that, then they take pride in what they do and how they do it.
They hold everybody accountable for the success or failure of whatever it is you're doing. That's why Long left. He left Miami because he saw that there were some issues down there that just weren't going to get resolved. He didn't even listen to their offer. He didn't listen to Miami's offer. So I think you're right. Philbin, yeah, he kept his job, but the findings also showed that he had no idea of what was going on. That
I find that very hard to believe. The coach is supposed to know the pulse of his locker room. That's part of his responsibility to know the pulse of his team. And if he doesn't know, then there's a total disconnect from that coach to his players.
Well, JP, and that's my point, that he has that disconnect, you know, that he's so oblivious to what's going on that maybe, as you said, he should not be the head coach because you're ultimately responsible for everything that goes on in that locker room, not in the front office, but in that locker room. And if you don't even know that your coaches that work for you are being a part of a bullying situation or that bullying or negative behaviors going on in your locker room, then, you know, something's up. The team rallied, you know, once it's out. I think they went on a win streak after they beat Miami. No, Miami beat Cincinnati at home on that Thursday night game. And I think they went on a winning streak after that. But I don't think that'll happen this year. You know, Mike Sherman got fired because of the play calls. Well, they couldn't get Mike Wallace the ball, who was their big offseason deep threat guy. Brian Hartline became somewhat of a star. Gibson became somewhat of a star. But they still had trouble with the running back. You know, I don't think Philbin is doing a good job. But I use Popovich and the San Antonio Spurs as a blueprint for what, you know, the NFL, if they were going to get it together, that's where they need to go. Find out what it is that organization and Popovich has or does and bring it over. If it means bringing in more experienced, strong-willed coaches that, you know, lay down a law, got it. You know, your boy Miami, He's from the old school, but he has a disconnect with the players. You know, the general manager, strong-willed, did what he wanted, didn't care, but it didn't work. So there's something that San Antonio does that that other teams in the NBA and possibly the NFL can and should emulate. That's just my opinion.
Well, just check this out, Victor. And I think this is going to be the new thing in coaching. Look at the model, and the NFL, the copycat league. Look at the model and the type of things that have been going on in Seattle. And it just didn't happen this year. It's been ever since that Pete Carroll brought that formula to cohesiveness as a team. And what you said, each one has a stake in the team. And it came to fruition this year. Now, there's another team that is trying to do the same thing, that's trying to lay the foundation, but it's at its infancy stage, and that's the Jacksonville Jaguars with Gus Bradley. So look for that type of, I wouldn't say formula, but I would say formula, that to be copied or to try to be closely copied to get that type of attitude and enthusiasm and cohesiveness in a team that like the Seattle Seahawks have and that the Jaguars are trying to emulate. There's going to be other teams that are going to try to do the same thing. I'm not sure they're going to be able to pull it off, if whether with the coaching staff or with the type of players. But I can see that because of the formula for what the Seahawks laid down, that teams are going to try to emulate that in the future.
Okay. Rev, what you got on it before we get off the air?
I'm on with Jerry, man. I think Jerry's spot on with this. I think it's a copycat league. So when you're successful, people are gonna copy that. I'm just praying that my Cleveland Browns can copy what they're doing out in Seattle and maybe build a winner with some defense. And I just think you got to have high character people in your organization. It starts from the top down with ownership to the GM to the coach. And just like Jerry said, if you got superstars, guys are going to line up and they're going to follow. They're going to follow behind those guys. If they got to be, you know, you can't just, you know, if you're going to walk the walk and you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. So I totally agree, man. If you got the leaders setting the right tone in your organization from off-season workouts to just everything, the week-to-week conduct, off-the-field conduct, guys are going to be productive, and there's no secret to that. I mean, that's just in life, you know. So I totally agree with Jerry, man. He said it spot on. Couldn't have said it no better.
All right. Boys, what are you guys talking about tomorrow?
Well, one of the things I definitely wanted to talk about, and we talked about this last night, just what Rev is talking about his team, because of the things that have been going on since the off season. One of the things I want to talk about is the Cleveland Browns, and who better to talk about the Cleveland Browns for the Cleveland Browns dedicated fan as the Rev, for one. I also wanted to talk about the incognito situation. We talked about it here, but I want to talk about it a little bit more. Also wanted to talk about your team, Mr. Vic Gardner, bringing back one of their superstars, one of its Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. And how's that going to affect RG3? So there's some things we're going to talk about. Maybe we talk about some baseball. Rev, you got anything else to add to that?
Nah, man, I'm just ready to get into it tomorrow, man. You know how it goes down every Sunday, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, with the master plan. The Rev and JT doing it dirty every Sunday.
Ooh, well, I love this guy.
I bet you do. All right, well, here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to give out this guy's email address on the air because I'm going to make sure I got it right. SapperCornwell@hotmail.com. SapperCornwell@hotmail.com. Is that correct?
That is correct. That's where you can send that winning vote to so I can go ahead and take over this league.
Well, I think I sent it already, and I did. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do it one more game. One more game. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you somebody's spot. And if they don't return, so be it.
I'm definitely going to sign up. I can't be a part of this organization and not, I got to set the tone just like we talked about. Start from the top down. So I'm going to start from the top and I'm going to win. And then, you know, once I win, maybe I'll take you guys out to lunch for some fish tacos or something.
This cat. Well, it's coming right now. You need to check your email in like 2 minutes. And once you check it, sign up, send your $50 by Elite. Matter of fact, you can give me. I'll be up there on Monday with my credit card swiper to swipe the $50 from you. So you'll be good to go right then and there, brother man. It has been sent. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to jump on board and you want to be a part of these fantasy leagues that we do, Jerry, give them that email address. They can send their information.
My email address, if you think you got what it takes, is J, and not the letter, not the name, but the letter, J Taylor, TAYLOR, one word, 342 at Comcast.net.
All right. You heard it there. You heard it first. Now, here's the deal. If the Sapper man joins the league right now, he'll be in the same division as myself and JT ATM Money. And I would like that. That way I don't have to put him in there. Because what you're doing is you're going to be going head-to-head versus me and you. And probably Weber, if Weber joins. I don't know if he's going to come back this year. But all I'm saying is I'm a winner. JT's okay. And the Rev
What about your boy Jason? Is he joining the league?
Last year's winner, Cacera, he's already in there.
Jason?
He's already in there.
Okay.
Yeah, Cacera. Yeah, he's the JDK 2013.
Okay.
So we got that going. But
do you guys take EDT cards, man, for payments?
I do not take EDT cards.
I'm a little poor, man, so I gotta hustle up some fun.
Well, you don't want to need to do it, Slim. You got to the 22nd.
They're all still from the church plate on this one.
Well, do what you must do. Do what you must do. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get our parting shots out real quick. I went to go see About last night, and that was a very funny movie. Regina Hall and Kevin Hart do very well together on the screen. Michael Ealy and the other chick, I don't know her name, but they did well. Kevin Hart's on the roll. He's got another movie coming out next month that's supposed to be pretty daggone good as well. So I want to say that was a good one. Enjoyed. Hope everybody had a decent Valentine's Day. Whether you be with your loved ones or not, hope you had a good Valentine's Day. Go around the horn real quick before we get out of here. We're going to go the Rev, JT, and I'm going to close it out.
Like I said, man, I'm ready to get it on tomorrow. If you want to talk sports with me and JT, you know where it's at, baby. The Master Plan, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. It's going down every Sunday, like I said before. I'm excited and pumped up. So make sure you dial in. If you can't catch it back, go to the website. You know what that is. So, like I said, it's going down every Sunday. And with that, I'll hand it off to my partner, JT Money.
Well, it's been said. There's really nothing else I can say because my man Rev Fantasy said it all. With that being said, from Rev, from myself, and from, how should I say it?
Don't do it.
Victor Gardner, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk smack, you in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.